Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
A lot of them aren't even pretending to be in charge.
Slow the testing down.
Remove him from office.
No justice, no peace.
Cast a vote that will make you proud.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Will you shut up, man?
Listen.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Sup Podcast. I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And if you're just tuning in to the Betches Sup Podcast, this is your daily rundown of all the crazy shit going on in the news, brought to you by your three funniest friends.
Which is us.
I don't know how to react.
I am drinking vodka out of my cup of Joe Biden mug by Betches.
Oh, that's a good idea.
The whole Betches Sup shop is actually 25% off today.
Oh my goodness. Wow. What a deal.
You know, what a deal. Say, the vodka tastes sweeter than ever. It's a beautiful day.
It's a really, really beautiful day. So let's just get into it. Mm-hmm. Most of this podcast, this is the sparsest outline I've ever had. We're just going to react. And I still feel like I haven't really processed everything going on. So I'm excited to like listen to some of these clips again and over and over and over again.
Well, I will say it comes in waves. It's still happening. But I'm like, it's like after the election too, where it's like, okay. Oh my God. Okay. Oh my God. Okay.
It's also a totally different experience when you, all three of us today, were working through the whole thing, tweeting or making videos or making content. So it's much harder to process and it's all kind of a blur. I always make sure to like go back and really try to process it afterwards.
For sure.
So what happened at noon today? President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris were inaugurated. Former federal employee Donald Trump departed his free accommodations with little ceremony to Mar-a-Lago, where he will hopefully live out the remainder of his years. He sounds like a bad dog.
Or maybe he could live out the remainder of his years in a penitentiary
or like
somewhere.
Or maybe it's like more like the remainder of his time. I don't want to put multiple years on there.
The remainder of his 3 years.
His free, yes.
If those amount to multiple years, his free months, his free weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see how quick shit gets moving. He did so after issuing a flurry of pardons that we will definitely talk about tomorrow. But today we're just going to talk about the new administration. First, let's continue discussing watching Donald Trump fuck off to Florida.
It was amazing.
It was so amazing. And it was such an amazing way to wake up. I also just couldn't believe that like Donald Trump woke up that early. I don't know.
I woke up. Yeah, that's what I woke up to.
How did we sleep? I slept like trash. Did you guys sleep well?
I took a Xanax. So, and I had like a bottle of, I split a bottle of Prosecco, had a Xanax and was like, peace.
Yeah, I slept well. I woke up, put it right on. I was just so thrilled at how truly small and pathetic and sad he looked. And like, I've been reading reports last night that they were starting to say like, you can bring 5 friends to the event. Like literally they were offering to let you bring 5 people because no one wanted to go to this shit. Everyone was already hanging out with Joe. It was like perfect because he looked so small and he was so diminished and so absurd.
Do you think like the White House, because like the White House staff remains the same, like the people like who like run the facilities, et cetera, they usually transition from administration to administration. I wonder if like the staff have been like sort of like quietly fucking with him or like, because I think about like what I would be doing.
I can only imagine, like, to be that person who has just worked in, like, I don't know, like, one of the offices for, like, 25 years, and you've seen a million presidents. Like, the chaos and absurdity that you must have witnessed.
Yeah. I mean, so, that shot of the helicopter, I think Sup actually posted. was what I woke up to this morning. And that honestly was a big weight because I was like, oh, he's not there.
Totally. Same.
I was like, oh my God, he's not going to be there.
And he's never going back.
Like, I'm like, so like, we'll probably like mention that the fact that he's like, wasn't at the inauguration, Trump, yeah. Like he's like one of the first presidents in modern history who like, except for like health reasons, was not present at an inauguration. And I'm like, good fucking riddance, man. Like,
oh, 100%. I am so glad that we did not have to look at him.
It would have ruined
it. Or hear from him. And we didn't have to watch Joe Biden be like, I thank Donald for what his kindness today. Like, I'm so glad that he made himself irrelevant. And the most powerful part of his leaving was to watch the attention of the nation turn away from him. Like, to watch him fly away and be like, and now to this other guy, it felt so fucking good.
Me too. Totally. Because even today, it's like, in Trump world, it's still a big day. He now landed in Mar-a-Lago and like they have stuff going on. But like, I don't give a shit. I haven't followed up. I haven't seen one person even clown on him tweeting about it. Nobody's looking. Nobody. I did see that Melania had an insane outfit change. Did you guys see that?
No, I didn't even see Melania's insane outfit change.
Oh, she had a very Florida outfit change. I believe, unless that was a meme.
It was a Hawaiian shirt, flip-flops, khakis. No, I don't know. But it would honestly probably would have been a bigger fuck you from Trump if he had went.
Like, he could have taken out all the air. I know. He could have remained relevant for so much longer. He's so stupid because everyone would have had to pay attention to him and everyone would have had to be like, Mr. President. And everyone, they would have played a big song for him and everyone would have clapped for him and all the people who are mean to him would have to be nice to him for the day. And it's actually what he's like. It's something he would have fucking loved. But totally. He's so emotionally small and petty, he couldn't even go do it. So instead, he's just irrelevant in Florida.
I also love that it kind of even further inflated the significance of the new vice president's role, because Pence did go. So they were able to have that departure moment that I think usually, yeah. I'm not sure if usually that's a moment with the outgoing and incoming presidents or if they do it for both. But obviously today it was the only thing we saw. And it really, yeah. I mean, today was Kamala's day.
Yeah. Which, I mean, listen, Joe did great on his speech and we'll talk about it. But Kamala.
I love that. So cute. Joe did great at his speech. He did do fantastic. It was a great speech.
He did great at his speech and he's got great energy, but
he made the second best speech of the day after Amanda Gorman.
Well, oh yeah, I can't even begin to talk about
it. The benedictions were amazing too. As I was watching it, I tweeted, it felt like a vow renewal with America. Like we've been through some shit. And we made it through and we got to reaffirm our values and our connection to one another.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt.
You know, and any event that has Lady Gaga at it, sign me up.
Did you see the picture of I saw pictures of Lady Gaga and J-Lo like greeting each other.
Could you imagine?
Funny seeing you here.
Yeah.
It really feels like two queens like in a sci-fi when they're like, ah, the Witch of the West.
Yeah.
Like a fear to each
other. Oh my God. I think something like this is so unimportant, but it was really gonna stick with me. Is J-Lo's "Let's Get Loud" moment in the middle of America? Whatever, this land is your land. Like,
Danny
what?
And I were screaming. I was screaming to put your own song in, to do a mashup first of all, and then to add your own song to the mashup. That's queen shit.
It was amazing. I don't know if I've listened to enough of J-Lo's library, but I did not recognize her voice. That's obviously her signature. That was iconic.
That was like, fucking awesome.
And she's like,
<It's> amazing.
You're like, this land is your land and I'm Jenny from the block.
And then she starts speaking in Spanish. There's a part of, I can't remember what network, I think it might be all of them, or whoever was running the captions just did not know what to do, and they just captioned it, speaks in a foreign language.
Couldn't even say Spanish. Couldn't even say she's speaking Spanish.
Did Puerto Rican speak Spanish?
Not even Beyonce. added her own song to the song during the inauguration. That was powerful.
That was fucking wild.
That was powerful. I bet Lady Gaga was sitting there. I bet Lady Gaga was sitting there being like, damn, I should have been like, rah.
she starts the thing like rah, rah. Oh, it's on. Okay, good. And then rah, goes
that would have been a more natural part of the national anthem than Let's Get Loud was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like America's she could have beautiful. More naturally gone into the rah.
That just seems like a run that you would see. The national anthem is hard as shit to sing.
Yeah.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
So around 8:30 a.m., like we said, we woke up to Donald Trump departing the White House. It was so crazy to wake up and just how quick it all happened. No anticipation, just good morning, hello. Trump reportedly, so like most 77-year-old men, the only dramatic times they leave their homes are to go to the hospital or to go to Florida. We'll be there indefinitely. Trump reportedly maintained one tradition of the presidential transition. Evidently, he did write a letter to incoming President Joe Biden. I would give anything to read this. I think if Biden auctioned this letter off that Trump wrote, we could cancel student loan debt. It reminds me of like Martin Scorsese buying the Wu-Tang album, but times a million. What do we think it said?
I think it literally says something completely benign, like, hey Joe, have a good one, MAGA, bye. Like, I think it probably says something.
Probably says
like,
keep America great.
It's like hack ass literally. Or hags or yes. something.
It says kick ass this summer.
Yeah, have a great summer. Have a kick ass summer.
100%.
I'll find those 11,780 votes. Just you wait.
He doesn't know how to write out 11,780.
He just wrote it out the words.
I'm thinking maybe he like drew a picture. He like traced his hand and then put like a turkey on it.
Yeah, it's that S that people used to draw in middle school. The pointy S.
It's probably Ivanka left it, and then the first time Trump heard about it was this morning. He was like, "No, I fucking didn't."
Yeah.
So after departing the White House, Trump addressed a small group of supporters, including a teary-eyed Ivanka Trump and Kimberly Guilfoyle at Joint Base Andrews. He told them, so just a goodbye. We love you. We will be back in some form. I'm not going to play any trips of Donald Trump today.
I had no idea he was so Buddhist.
We will be back in some goodbye. Form is the scariest thing he could have said. I was like, what the fuck? That I said this in the newsletter, but that's literally what an evil scientist says before being frozen for a century. He's like, all right, we'll be back in some form, and then goes underground.
And then the sequel, he comes back and he has an extra arm and some weird power. He's a robot.
Yeah, or he's on the back of Quirrell's head.
Yeah.
He's back. Fuck.
He's going to freeze himself and then we'll unfreeze him in 50 years. And like, turns out he had COVID when we froze him and he just brings it back.
I like love looking at the pictures of the kids. Like sad. I love it.
It's amazing.
I know. Like, I mean, I also just like love looking at all of them because they're just a train wreck to begin with. Like even without like any emotion behind them, like, this is Elise's joke. She makes it all the time. But if you're going to be rich, you have to be attractive. Like, if you're going to pay to be, like, rich, if you're going to, like, pay me, like, you know what I mean? I love, like, I don't know. But then you look at, like, also, like, Ivanka's face. Yeah, they look like
shit. You can find a way to be attractive if you're rich. Like, it's fine.
That's the thing. Is that
just get Kelly Loeffler hair and fine.
Yeah, you have the money to buy a new face and put it on your face. You could buy new hair. You could buy new teeth. So for Don Jr.'s hair and teeth to look the way they do.
Mm-hmm. But and I noticed about Ivanka is that like you don't see her make very many facial expressions because like that's like her thing. But also she has an immense amount of Botox.
I'm sure.
And I don't think that I've seen someone with that amount of Botox, like, naturally, to, like, show that much emotion, just because I don't know that many people with that much Botox. And I was like, that is a, it looks like it hurt.
The only way you knew she was crying is because water was coming out of her eyes. Yeah. Her facial expression did not change.
Get Botox. I'm not shaming anyone for getting Botox, but I was just like...
It was kind of honestly like Joe Biden yesterday. When he started crying in his speech, he just suddenly was streaming tears. And his face didn't... It's like he and Ivanka have the same crying style. Probably because Joe cries all the time. He just like learns to just...
Yeah.
Also... Joe might also have a little bit of that.
Joe might also. I'm just,
oh my God, totally.
That's what I'm saying. The man's had to be on television for a long time. That there's no shame in it.
It would not be the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Comparing the inauguration pictures, they look amazing. They look amazing. And I dare say neither of them have aged much, but Joe has aged even less than Jill.
Everyone looks extremely good at the inauguration.
Okay, so that's literally my next line, is that everybody, all the faves turned the fuck out. It was incredible, and it just made it all the better that Trump was not there, so they're the only thing we had to look at. The band was all back. Everybody looked amazing. Michelle Obama looked amazing. Hillary had these, like, long golden locks. She looked amazing. Kamala and Michelle were wearing purple, or maybe it was, like, a royal bright purplish blue.
Hillary also had a purple scarf. So I think that there was, like, a red and blue purple moment. I feel like the girls all got on a text, and they were like, we're doing purple.
Yeah.
Do what you want with it, but we're doing purple.
And that they did. That they did.
And they all did. And they brought it.
Bernard, who knew that he would come with the meme of the day? I mean, if you had asked me yesterday who's going to come with the meme of the inauguration, I'll tell you, I was not going to say Bernard Sanders.
Mm-hmm. Bernie rolling up with just holding loose papers, mittens on in the same windbreaker he wore for the whole campaign. Loved it. The man stays consistent.
Liz had her puffy jacket too, Liz Warren.
She was wearing a Planned Parenthood scarf too.
Yeah, they live in New England. They know what cold is, and they know how to deal with it. So
yeah, Bernie was just like, I changed pants in the car. Shut up. Traffic was unbelievable. I was just like, what?
I know. He's like, I got work to do. We got the Senate. What are you doing?
Joe, I have a list of things I need you to do.
And in case you missed this absolutely incredible anecdote, the mittens that Senator Sanders was wearing were apparently mittens that are made from recycled materials that were sent to him, you know, that just came to his P.O. box, and he's just the guy that, like, all old Jewish men are like this. They get something for free and they're like, why would I ever need another version of this? This is it. This is magnificent. I'll wear this till I die.
They're made of recycled wool and recycled water bottles.
Oh, thank God. Those poor sheep.
The man is consistent.
I mean, and it's funny to see, like, when the Obamas came in too, it's like they are clearly just the cool kids. You know, the cool kids of the group. Everyone's like really like, oh, they're here. They came. Like, and they just look cool. I don't know. Maybe I'm picking that up.
I know. I was projecting, but it felt like they were all really happy to not have Trump there. And they were so happy to get to do the thing and be in their club without him. And we can talk about the legacies of each individual member of this club, but for the moment, it felt like they were all both sides of the aisle very thankful not to have Donald Trump there.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't had I don't want to undermine the 2012 inauguration, because the fact that we had a Black president who was reelected is amazing. But it does sort of feel like the last time we had a super exciting, anticipatory inauguration that we were genuinely looking forward to and happy to witness was 2008, that kind of excitement. Yeah. 2012 was amazing, of course, but I don't think it necessarily sticks with you the same way. And then obviously 2016 was devastating.
Yeah.
So there was just so much anticipation, and you could feel it among just everybody there. And it checked out.
2016, it's so interesting to think back to that, because the next day was the Women's March. Mm-hmm. So it's just so wild to think back to that time and how, like, he had his weird, sparsely attended inauguration. We get right out the gate, Sean Spicer was screaming. That was day one.
Day one.
And then the next day was the Women's March, which, like, I went to D.C. for that and participated there, and it was such a crazy, huge moment, like the largest protest. I think it was the largest.
Yeah, at the time, it definitely was, yeah.
So it's just insane to contrast the feeling then versus now.
It is.
Yeah.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
Vice President Kamala Harris was sworn in at around 11:40 DC time. Let's listen to her take that historic oath one more time.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Kamala Davy Harris, do solemnly swear.
I, Kamala Davy Harris, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
That I will well and faithfully discharge.
That I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
The duties of the office upon which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
All right.
I think that was... That all right at the end, originally on Twitter, everyone thought it was Obama, but it sounds like it was definitely President
Joe.
Biden.
Yeah.
It's so great.
I love it.
It's so great. And it's so good. And I mean, the fact that she got sworn in by Sotomayor, who was the first Latina on the Supreme Court. Like,
and Kamala, Vice President Harris, got to choose who swore her in, and she chose Justice
I think
Sotomayor.
It was also just like, it really just like, it was so refreshing to look at this group of people and their families in this stage and see like people of color and like just like diversity and like, you know, Kamala Harris's family, like her niece and her sister and her niece's husband, like look like cool, like normal people. Like he was wearing
those
like Dior 1 sneakers or something, and everyone was like, who's this guy wearing Dior 1 sneakers?
Like, I saw Mina tweeted, she like got back on, she was like, I can't believe my aunt just became vice president, I came on here and you guys are tweeting about my husband's sneakers.
Yeah, it's like, it's just like refreshing, and like that moment was just like another moment that was like like, okay, what one thing is that?
Yes, I felt that way. You know, funnily enough, like watching J-Lo sing This Land Is Your Land, I'm like looking around and I'm like, okay, we're inaugurating like a Black South Asian vice president. Jenny from the block, a Puerto Rican girl from the Bronx, is singing at this inauguration. We haven't even talked about the poem yet, but we have this incredible young Black woman about to give a poem. Like, it did feel meaningful in that moment. And obviously we need to like back the symbolism of that up with actual actions that help spread equality for everyone. But the symbolism is important too.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. And I mean, we've said this before, but it's just so
insane that we had never had a woman vice president or president in this country's history, especially when you look at just most countries have, maybe not most, but the countries that have, it's quite shocking and embarrassing that we hadn't. And we deserved this, and we deserved it with interest. We needed, if this was going to happen, we deserved to have it with it being a child of immigrants and a Black woman, a South Asian woman who has this incredible blended family.
Yeah.
We needed it with interest. Who's young?
You know, who's young and cool and represents a generation of women who are tired of not having reached that highest office yet. And yeah, we still have to have a woman be president, but like, there really is something cool and historic about Kamala. And again, like, as you were saying about her family, the fact that she's a fucking stepmom and she got married later in life. And she like,
I don't think we talk about that enough.
Like, she represents a real change.
Totally. I mean, I don't even think 10 years ago, I remember when we were talking about, you know, running a woman, or even after Hillary Clinton, the idea that a woman had to be like, have a nuclear family, people always thought that would be really important to whoever ultimately became the first. And it's just such a delicious fuck you that that's probably not going to be the case. Do you guys feel like, so now that we have a woman vice president, obviously we just inaugurated our new president, and we're going to give him a chance, but does it feel like the path to a female president is a little bit smoother now? Do you feel like does this feel like it's a halfway there sort of thing, or does it feel like it's just a parallel, really significant step?
I think that there's definitely a power to seeing her in the executive branch. So, like, watching her as the other person as a part of this ceremony today, and like seeing her do that, I think there's power to that image. Like that's how I felt. Oh, we've actually never seen a woman assume this leadership role, and for her to do it in such like a graceful way, and to look so amazing, to be, you know, there is something about looking the part and stuff, and she's so poised, and she is so like emotive and expressive in her face, and also strong. Like, she really just brought it to the table today in a way, and I do think it smashed open the door yet again for women to get to the presidency.
I think that in terms of people being I think this motivates a lot of women, like I know for me on like personal like journey or whatever, and if I see someone that I relate to succeed, I get motivated. I'm like, oh, I can do it. I can do more. I can do the same thing. So I feel like it's probably just going to drive more women and women of color to hopefully pursue the biggest dreams that they ever could have. But I also like, part of me is also like, you know, there was this, we've talked about this before, this like idea of a glass cliff. And I'm like, not to say that I'm happy that the president isn't a woman. But I want to be like, I'm glad that it wasn't like right now, in terms of like, we need someone who can like save us.
That's an interesting point.
And if they fuck it up, then it's going to be like, well, women, you know what I mean? Like, so that's why I'm like, okay.
For anyone who doesn't know, the glass cliff is like this idea that basically like women tend to get promoted into like the highest place in a company right as the company is failing, and then they inherit something that's not manageable, and then like women get blamed in general this woman gets blamed for destroying the business when in fact like the business was fucked up when she got it. So like, yeah, it would be like messed up if we got like a woman in an office and then everyone was like,
people keep dying,
destroyed America, you killed America, which could
They absolutely would. They probably still will, like if it's Harris who runs.
Yeah.
That's such a good point. This is why Brian's the only man on the podcast.
I'm happy to hold that torch.
You do it, man. You do it. I mean, yeah, I was rewatching her taking the oath just because I was doing a bunch of things when she took it. And you're right. I mean, she just was perfect today. You saw her feel the weight of the moment and feel really tickled and struck by it, but also, I mean, I would have been fine if she broke down, but also sort of steel herself in a way that was really relatable. Just, we've all had those moments where we're just like really happy, but no, we mean business. And Mm-hmm. It was just so relatable and incredible. And there's this really cute moment in the video where like Nancy Pelosi starts clapping too soon. And so does Elaine Chao, actually. Like Elaine Chao is like right there, like, yes. Yeah. It was Mitch McConnell's outgoing transportation secretary.
And there was a point where I saw her step, I think it was her stepson, like they're like Vice President Harris, or like it was like one of those like final like moments. And you could see him in the back of me like, shaking his head, like I can't see that he's mouthing, obviously.
Yeah.
But like he's having like a holy shit, like
yeah,
like you know, and because that's what it feels like. It feels like feels like we know someone who could be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
that's yeah, either that or like. I was like, or we're just in the swamp. I was like, am I in the swamp? I realize these people I like I know that are now in the administration. I was like, oh shit! I was saying to my fiance, I was like, I think I'm in the swamp. I think I'm in it. He was like, that's not good. All right. So let's move on to President Joe Biden. Joe Biden took his oath shortly after Vice President Harris. And at noon, as per the Constitution, he officially became the President of the United States. I had posted something about Harris officially being the Vice President. And my fiance came in and just trolled me and for 3 full minutes telling me that I was fake news, which is his favorite thing to do. It's great for my anxiety. Anyway, he spoke for 20 minutes, about 20 to 30 minutes about healing and unity. It was an incredible speech. Joe Biden famously has a stammer that he has worked to overcome. And this was probably the most fluid we've ever seen him. And he doesn't generally struggle. But this was by far, I mean, he's been waiting this speech for 30 years. Something notable in his speech is that he also committed to addressing issues of racial justice that this country has long delayed dealing with. And these are things that he clearly has a mandate to address when you look at who was responsible for toppling the dictator and electing Joe Biden. Let's listen to a clip.
A cry for racial justice, some 400 years in the making, moves us. The dream of justice for all will be deferred no longer. A cry for survival comes from the planet itself, a cry that can't be any more desperate or any more clear. And now, a rise of political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism that we must confront and we will defeat.
I mean, it's a big change from stand back and stand by. You know, it's really nice and refreshing to hear someone easily condemn white supremacy, which doesn't sound like it's something we should have to say, you know?
Yeah, without being begged by a debate moderator.
It felt like a hallmark of the entire ceremony. Not necessarily racial justice, but inclusion and diversity. A lot of the speakers were Black. Kamala Harris was... Vice President Harris was escorted by Eugene Goodman, who I believe is now the Deputy Sergeant-at-Arms of the Senate. Mm-hmm. He got a very well-earned promotion after saving their lives and Vice President Pence's life. Mm-hmm. The speakers and the tone of the speech and the... I felt that deference was really given to Kamala Harris and the history that she was making.
Yeah.
And obviously, Amanda Gorman's presence there, she noted that she was also a descendant of slaves, and to be a 22-year-old, a descendant of enslaved people, and to be a 22-year-old up there, she's unbelievable. She was the Youth Poet Laureate, and her speech was the best speech of the day.
Yeah, it was. The for it to come right after Biden's speech, which I really did think was good, and I think he said, I felt
incredible.
Particularly moved when he was like, I'm putting my whole soul into this, because we've just had a president who's so selfish, and who never would put himself on the line for America ever. And I believe when Joe Biden says, like, I'm in this to be president for real. But her speech, her poem, sorry, I keep calling it a speech. It is a poem. Her poem afterwards, I felt like the two together were like really worked to like seal this moment.
Yeah. I just like, you know, this was another just like relief moment for me too, because it's like, we like, there's just so many things. It's like, we will have an administration that believes in science, that believes that climate change is an existential threat to our, you know, the world. And that believes in science when it comes to the coronavirus. Like we are having the worst, we're in the worst part of this fucking pandemic. And we had a president who, like, minimized it and lied to us about it. And now we have someone who actually is going to listen to the scientists and do the work. And we're going to be back in the Paris Climate Accord. Like, it's just like, oh my God, like, thank fucking God. Like,
how did you guys, even watching the COVID memorial last night, I mean, how shameful that the incoming administration puts on that memorial, because the outgoing administration at no point did, and we waited until there were 400,000 people to do it. It's just so shameful and embarrassing for them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, it's shameful that Donald Trump was ever president. It's disgusting that he was able to remain president. We still need to figure out what to do with him to hold him accountable for the things he did as president. But it was heartening to see truly how diminished he's been over the past couple of days, beginning with that ceremony yesterday, because it was, watching it was like, this is something that should have been happening this entire time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we have a real president again. And watching the ceremony today without him, it was perfect to have it without him. And like, he really just seems so small.
And like, there are so many things, like, this is similar to your point, Elise, about how, like, there's so many things that he said in his speech that were like, defend the Constitution, unite the country, stand up for America, like those sort of, which were moving. And like, that's what they always say. They always say shit like that. Like, but this time it's like, oh my God, yes, let's unite. Yes, let's defend the Constitution. It's like that, like, we have just been like, it's like we've been in an abusive relationship, not to. And it's like, and now it's like when someone treats us like, when someone like treats us a little bit okay, we're like, oh my God, they're the best person in the world. Yeah, we've been gaslit.
As soon as somebody is like, this is the reality you're seeing is the truth.
Yeah.
It feels shocking.
Exists. Like, it's real. The stuff, like, we need to confront these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I was realizing as we were talking that as I was watching, I was just so taken by everything that was happened that nothing happened. So far, everybody is very safe. And I can't believe I stopped thinking about that during it. Like, I just remembered that we were so nervous about that, but it was such a beautiful ceremony. And obviously, the lengths that were taken to ensure that people were safe were pretty extreme. But I'm glad that,
I mean, I was watching them all like descend the stairs and just like, please don't fall. Please don't fall. Like, everything. Like, because it was like, when Kamala, I was like, Kamala Harris is coming down with Vice President Kamala Harris. You know, why not say it?
We're still going to call her Kamala. But for today, I'm just trying to just take it
Doug
in.
Doug Elmhoff, right?
Elmhoff.
We want to make sure we're saying his name right, because we're going to be saying it. They weren't holding onto the railing. And I was just like, screaming inside, like, please, someone grab the railing.
Competently going downstairs is kind of her thing, though.
Yeah.
So Joe Biden's staff immediately started moving into their offices, while POTUS, before moving on with the rest of his day, started signing some papers. He signed an Inauguration Day proclamation and signed notices about his official cabinet nominations. The president, vice president, and their spouses had like a cute little art history tour of the Capitol and now are taking on additional roles and responsibilities for today. And then there's like a fun primetime special hosted by Tom Hanks tonight.
Yes, they gifted and framed that photo of them very fast. At the like right after the inauguration, they're like, and here's a beautifully framed photo of 5 minutes ago. And we're like, I was like, oh my God, where did you get that?
Did you guys see that CNN's White House correspondent, Jim Acosta, tweeted last night that when Donald Trump left last night, he took the pictures and the picture frames with him. When he arrived, the picture frames were empty. What you're supposed to do is add your pictures and then remove them. They took it all down.
They're on eBay. They're on eBay right now, those frames, but not the pictures.
Nobody wants those.
Oh, no. Oh, we knew he was going to steal something. There was no way he was. That's just the tip of the iceberg of the shit he took from that office that he's not supposed to fucking have.
Joe Biden's gonna get in there and he's gonna be like, "Where's my pen? Where's the trash can? Where is everything?
Where is that bust of Winston Churchill?"
There's no toilet seat in the bathroom. Yeah.
He'd be like, Donald, did you take the Winston Churchill bus? He's like, no, I didn't. And it's like, it's because he doesn't know which ones he even took. He's just grabbed them all. Winston who?
I had this already. We already had this.
Yeah. I also wanted to leave us with this hilarious clip of Boris Johnson. Have you guys heard this? This is Boris Johnson reacting to the inauguration news. It's just delightful. Let's listen.
I really congratulate Joe and Kamala Harris on their achievement, on their inauguration today. It's a fantastic thing for America. It's a step forward for the country that's been through a bumpy period.
That's it.
I mean, first of all, fucking Boris Johnson can talk. How does it feel to be the new dumb, ugly
asshole?
That's
what I thought. It's like you left the EU and then we had a pandemic and y'all have a new variant and are locked down. I mean, I can't talk. We can't talk. But I'm just saying, don't throw stones.
What I'm saying is the one person I'm not going to take shit from is Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
We got rid of our idiot. You still have yours.
Yeah, exactly. How does it fucking feel? Now spotlight's on you, babe.
That is our show. We will be back tomorrow and the day after that. I hope everybody has an amazing, joyous evening. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast.
The Betches Sup podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Artwork by Brittany Levine. Our podcast director is Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.